in honor of Black History. And so it's a little different than our normal proceedings here, but we do thank God we wanted to take time to acknowledge some of the great accomplishments that sometimes you don't hear about. Amen. I was blessed to attend a program for my grandson, Jason Cutler, who received, along with 522 other people in the city schools, actually in the St. Louis area, received a reward of excellence. It was called Black Excellence Matters. Amen. I think that's kind of something, and we want to give a shout out to him about. Amen. Amen. People want to say other things, but I like the fact that they put it in that perspective that Black excellence matters, not just anything that you want to put down. Sometimes we try to do that, and that kind of gives a bad rap to Black people in general. But when we see what we have been through as a people and where God has brought us through, it is a wonderful thing. And I'm thankful that the gospel is not black and white, if you will. The gospel is for every kindred, nation, tribe, and tongue, and people. So we don't ever want to get that twisted. Amen. That's something that tries to be done today, too. So you have to be careful how you understand what God has done. The gospel is to every man, woman, boy, and girl on the entire planet. Every human being. It's not a black thing, somebody might like to say. You know, it's a black thing. Hopefully black people get with it and understand it and accept it for what it is. But it's really for everyone. Amen. And it's the most universal message that there is. And it's God's message to mankind from himself. He has given his son, made him the most famous individual in history. Jesus Christ, the calendar of 2017 is based on the first advent of Christ. And it's for all people everywhere around the planet. Amen. But the black people are a part of that, along with every other one. John said he was looking in the book of Revelation. He saw a number coming up before God that no man could number, of every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue, and people. So that lets you see the people from every walk of life around the planet will be saved, those who trust in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and believe that God has raised him from the dead. The Bible says you shall be saved. Amen. So we've been under a theme here at St. Timothy. Some of you who are just here to visit, we want to thank God for you coming today and visiting with us. And this is a good day. It's a little different than our typical service. I want to point that out, but I thank God for what has gone on here today. Amen. So without any further delay, I'm going to call your attention to a passage or two from the scriptures. We're going to take a look in the Old Testament in the book of the Psalms, chapter number, division, I should say, number 27 out of the 150 Psalms. And then we're going to look in the New Testament in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 2. So you may have a handout there. If you don't, notify the usher, raise your hand. They will try to put one in your hand. Amen. Amen. So we're going to have the deacons come at this time and share in the reading. And we ask you to give your attention to the inerrant word of God. Amen.
A song of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. Yes. And now shall my head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifice of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord.
Amen, amen, amen. May God add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of the Old Covenant. And now for a reading from the book of the Hebrews from the New Testament. Amen. Chapter number 2.
For it became him for whom all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily, he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted.
Amen. The word of the Lord to the people of the Lord. May God add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his holy and inerrant word. Amen. We want to thank God for letting us be here. I would be remiss if I did not mention that we have some special guests here today on the pulpit with me. We have Pastor Patey. And his beautiful wife is here with us today. We thank God for you all coming out to be with us on today. Amen. And we have other visitors. We thank God for all of you. Amen. We just wanted to mention and shout out to him at this time. We thank the Lord for sending him over to be with us today. Amen. And his missus. Amen. So we're going to go right ahead, not to prolong the time. I want to talk just for a little while here on the topic of spiritual confidence of the saved. Spiritual confidence of the saved. Now, and I want to mention this, some of you have not been with us, so I have to back up just a little. We had started on a theme this year of something that God planted in my spirit, and that was that this would be proclaimed the year without fear, living a year without fear. So we've been talking about some of the fearful climate that has been going on, and particularly in our country, here in these latter days, and we can see it not only in America, but in the world. There's some fearful things that are going on that might cause one to fret. And so God planted in my spirit, speak to the people, his people, about living a year without fear. So we've been on that series now for several weeks. And so this day, we're going to talk about the flip side of that. And this is the reason why people who love God can have spiritual confidence. Now, this is the flip side. Confidence and spiritual confidence in general, specifically, is in stark opposition to living in fear. And only people who have spiritual confidence, I want to add, are those who are saved. Amen. Because otherwise, you cannot really have any kind of an assurance about anything that goes on earth. And the big important thing to God is that men and women would be saved. And so we want to talk about that. Now, one thing I know, if you don't mind, when I was lost, I didn't understand what saved meant. Maybe you were a little different. When I was lost, somebody said, are you saved? I said, saved? What is that? It was like you might as well be speaking Hebrew or some other language. I had no idea what it means to be saved. And so we want to define that a little bit in case somebody's listening that may be in that same state that I was in when someone attempted to share the gospel with me. They asked me, was I saved? I said, saved from what? I didn't realize I was lost. The lost do not know that they are lost. They do not realize that they are not saved. They have no spiritual ability to understand what that means. It's kind of like when Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, it says in the word in John chapter 3. It says there was a man of the Pharisees. This man should have known he was of the Pharisees, one of the most elite groups of Jews at that time. He came, he asking him, say, good master, we know you are a teacher, come from God, because no man can do the signs that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus looked right into his soul. He came asking him about the signs and the wonders, saying, we know you have come from God. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. There is a blindness in the minds of the lost where they cannot see the kingdom of God. That's the first thing I want to say. That if you are not saved, you don't even see the fact that you're not saved. You don't know you need help from God. You don't know not only just help, you need to be born from above, Jesus said. You need to be born again, King James translates it. You need to have God interact in your life and cause a new thing to happen in your spirit that has never happened before. Nicodemus didn't get it. He said, how can a man be born when he is old? He was lost. He knew all about the Bible. He understood the scriptures, what they said. He had been through religious practice and going back and forth to the temple all of his life. He had been having the Passover and doing all the rituals of the Jews. But he didn't understand that you are not rightly connected to God unless you have been born from above. So what did he say? He said, well, how can a man be born when he is old? I don't get that. It doesn't make sense to me. Can he go back into his mother's womb and be born again? He asked. Jesus said, are you the teacher of Israel and you do not understand these things? He said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. He said, and Nicodemus is trying to take this in. So I understand that he represents what a person is lost who doesn't understand what it means to be saved. Jesus was trying to let him know, you need help from God. You need energy from God. You need a new birth. You have to start over with the way you view your life and how you are. And so this thing here, when you are saved, you have confidence because, you know, God has provided you with something that you need that you cannot get along without. You know that whatever I am doing is unacceptable to God by myself. There's something from God must come and touch my life. God must give me an understanding of what is important in life. God must guide my steps and lead me through life. It's a new relationship that happens when a person is saved. God wants you to be saved. So if you're hearing me and you're starting to understand what I'm saying and you have never accepted this, realize God loves you just like you are. He wasn't telling Nicodemus that has anything to do with what you're doing. This is something God would like to do for you. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to have the confidence that you are his. And that he is yours. He wants you to understand that salvation is something you receive from me. It's a free gift that I give you when you put your trust in me, not in yourself, not in your works, not in your good deeds. But you trust me and believe that I am able to save you all by myself. That's what Jesus was saying. He went on in that discourse there in the book of John, Big John, we call it John chapter 3, to tell Nicodemus. He said, you know, let me help you understand this. He didn't say it like that, but he said, you know, the wind blows and you hear the sound, but you don't know where it came from. Neither do you know where it's going. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. He says a mysterious thing. It comes into your life. You can see the evidence that is there. You don't know where it came from, but you don't know where it's taking you, where it's going. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So being born from above of the Spirit gives instant confidence to the recipients of salvation. Jesus had come to give salvation to whoever trusted him. And the works that he did were to prove who he was, that he was God the Messiah, God the Son, who had come out of eternity into time, as John reported in chapter number 1, verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, he said. The glory is of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. So John writes that about Jesus in the first chapter of the Gospel of St. John. So to be saved is to have a new relationship with God that starts with God initiating a new birth in your life. His spirit comes into your life, lets you know that I have covered you for all your sin. There's nothing you have to worry about as far as sin is concerned. And this is when you have confidence, because you know what? If you're trying to please God in the flesh, unless you do everything perfect, you're not going to ever have confidence. That's the problem with people. You try to go through life and I'm trying to do everything right. Then I stumble somewhere and don't do something right. Then I feel like, oh, God is against me now because I stumbled and I didn't do everything right. Well, Jesus wants you to know, not that he's trying to justify any of us to do anything that's not right, but the fact is he understands our frame. The Bible says in the Psalms that he understands as a father doth his children. He understands our frame and he knows that we're but dust. And he has mercy on us like a father does his children. So he has to provide us with salvation, and he wants to do that. Everyone who is saved, God has given you the gift of salvation. It's not that you earned it. It's not that you deserve it. But God provides it because he knows there's no other way that we can have it unless he gives it to me and you. And so we have to come to that understanding before we can have spiritual confidence. Spiritual confidence is where I can stand before God and know that he accepts me, even though I'm not perfect. He knew I was not perfect. That's why he sent his son to die on the cross. So we're going to talk about that just a little bit here in the minutes that we have left. But I wanted to kind of give you some precursor to what we're talking about in case you were not here for the previous messages. And you can hear them online if you like. They're still all posted on the internet and they can be heard, every one. They'll go all the way back for a number of years. But in either case, I want you to see something here today, that this is not a new thing. This is something that the people of God have always understood throughout all of time. Here we have a writing in Psalms number 27 from David. David had been a shepherd boy, minding his business in the fields, tending to Jesse's sheep, his father. And he was anointed to be the king of Israel. He became a psalmist, which is a person who writes songs about the goodness and the mercy and the relationship that he has with God. And here in this psalm, David says, this is a psalm of David, the Lord, speaking of the Most High God, is my light and my salvation. See, David understood salvation is a gift from God. He is my light and he is my salvation. Whom shall I fear? If God is for you, who can be against you? Think about that. Doesn't mean you don't have trouble. It just means that when you go through the trouble, God is with you. And if God is for you, who can successfully be against you? Doesn't mean I won't have trouble, but it means when I go through trouble, God is with me. I am not alone. There you go. That's a good way to put it. He's right at your side. See, he didn't say, I'll take away the trouble. Remember what David wrote in another psalm? He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. See, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You know, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. See, the enemies might be coming against me, but you prepare a table so I can sit and dine with you in the midst of my troubles. See, so that's what David knew. And here, when he writes in this 27th Psalm, the Lord is my light and my salvation. See, he gives God the credit. He has the confidence to understand that salvation is a work of God. Who shall I fear? Who is bigger and badder than God, the Most High? The answer is no one, obviously. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? How can I be afraid of someone if you're not God and God has got my back? See, and God loves you. That's the reason why he has your back. Notice what he says in verse 2, when the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh. They stumbled and fell. They didn't have success. Why? Because God was with me. Notice last week we talked about Psalm number 91, for those of you who were not here. It says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. See, he understood, I'm in God's shadow. God is right on my side. He is covering me for anything going on in my life. I don't have to worry. I don't have to fear. He said, even when the wicked, that's people who have not trusted in God, come up, my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. See, no fear. He says, I'm living without fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. He says, I'm confident because it doesn't make a difference what anyone else does. There is no one higher than the Most High God. And if he loves me, I'm good. I'm going to put it in a modern way of saying. You can just say, I'm good. God's got my back. Because I'm trusting in him. I'm leaning and depending on him. Okay, we sing that song, Lean on Me, God said. When you're not strong, when you feel like you're about to stumble, lean on me. Trust me in all that you do. So this is where you get confidence. It comes from your relationship with the Most High God. Now, David says, this is how I do this, verse 4. One thing I have desired of the Lord. See, now this is where we actually ask God to intervene in our lives. That will I seek after. I'm seeking after what God has for me. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. That's what I want. All the things we see that man does here on earth are pretty spectacular sometimes. Sometimes they're pretty awful. It just depends on who you're looking at. You see, but what God does to be able to be in his temple and to inquire of the Lord, the one who made everything, the one who stretched forth the heavens and the earth and everything that's in them, to stretch forth the Pluto and all the various planets and the sun and the stars. He is an awesome God. To be in his temple all the days of my life and to behold the beauty of the Lord. Look at what God made. The Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament shows his handiwork. You can look around and see how beautiful he is looking at what he made. See, Paul also uses that argument in the first chapter of Romans to tell people about how the world shows you that there is a God. And you can come up with some craziness. Now, plenty of people out there who aren't saved want to talk about a big bang. I say, you want to know about a big bang? Wait till you go in the box without Jesus. You think that's a big bang that started this. You know, it's going to be a big bang for you if you enter into the grave without the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to trust in God and believe in him. Now, notice what David goes on to say. Let me I digress here just a bit. For verse 5 says, for in the time of trouble, he shall hide me. God will cover you in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up on a rock. I like that. God says, I'm looking to set you up and get you sat on a rock, somewhere you don't have to be shaken, somewhere you won't be moved. And he says, and now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. That's why we like to come to church and praise God, because he is worthy to be praised. Whatever you have been through, God has brought you through it. Right now, you wouldn't be here today if that were not so. I wouldn't be here. If God had not brought me through every challenge in my life, I wouldn't be here today. But I'm here now because whatever came against me in life, God was with me. You are here for the same reason. You know what? It's amazing. God has mercy on everyone, including the lost, who don't know that they're lost. The reason he allows them to go on is he wants you to understand who I am and have a relationship with me. I want you to be saved. How do you know? Because I sent my son into the world to be crucified for you. Jesus came to set everything right between God and man. And God made him the most famous individual in the history of mankind. Nobody else is in the position where Jesus is. Even the lost. I love to tell them, have you realized that 2017 means there have been 2,017 years since Jesus was born? So God did that. Nobody else has a credential like that. Why? Because he wants you to trust his son and be saved. Why has God let you be in the world all that time without being saved? And he let you know now that I sent my son who was crucified for you. I divided time by the Lord Jesus Christ. Your birth certificate is about Christ. The day you were born is set up based on the day he was born. And every document that you sign and write every day has to do with the date of the time that my son came into the world. So how can you deny him? And I have let you go on, God is saying, so you can understand that I love you. That's the reason you're here, and that's why I gave Jesus for you in order to make you right in my sight. And so the spiritual confidence of the saved comes from a knowledge of the relationship that we have with God. The psalmist realized that God himself was his refuge in every situation that he faced, and that there were no enemies nor forces of darkness that a God would not be able to help him with or to assist him through or to deliver him from. He knew that. through every situation, that, and this was based solely on the promises of God, which is his word, and the goodness of the Most High God. He's in your life to bless you. He is not there to curse you. If God wanted to take me out, he could have done it any day, you know, because there was no reason why he should keep me. But he allowed me to go on just a little while longer so that he could convince me that he had sent his son, Jesus, to save me. And that's what he's doing for you today. I want you to know he loves you just like you are. There's nothing that you have done that he will not forgive you for. Because you know what? He could have took me out when I was in the midst of all kinds of foolish living. But he didn't. He let my soul go on a little while longer till I got an understanding. I wasn't going around saying, what do you mean saved? I had to understand. I do need to be saved. I do need to be delivered. God wants me to be saved. God wants me to be delivered. That's why he gave his son. And so that's the thing you have to understand. And it will give you confidence once you have that understanding of who God is and what he has done for you. Now, I want you to see something else. This is spectacular. We only got a little time left. Here in Hebrews 2, notice what the writer to the Hebrews says. Speaking of Jesus, this one that God has given for your salvation and mine and whoever else believes in him. That's the duty of the church, to notify the lost that God loves you just like you are. He won't leave you like you are once you understand who he is. He'll change you. He will help you. He will bless you. He says, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness if you trust me. But he won't intrude into your life. You have to accept him. The Bible says, to as many as received him, to them he gives the right to be called the sons of God, even those that believe on his name. See, so trusting in his name is a good thing. The writer to the Hebrews sums it up like this. For it became him, speaking of Jesus, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things. In other words, God is the creator and the sustainer of all things, in bringing many sons unto glory. That's what God wants to do for me and you, bring us to glory, like the psalmist desired to be in the tabernacle of the Lord, to dwell in his pavilion, to inquire of the Lord and to behold his beauty. So the writer to the Hebrews agrees. He says, it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Jesus suffered. So why? Somebody wrote a song, must Jesus bear the cross alone while all the world go free? No, there is a cross for me as well, and there is a cross for you. So he's saying he came in to relate to the sufferings and the difficult things you and I have to deal with every day in life. For both he that sanctifieth, that means to set apart, or they who are sanctified, that means the ones he saves, are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. See that? Saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I am the children which God hath given me. God sent Jesus to bring other people to glory along with himself. For as much then, notice this in verse 14, as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. In other words, as it says in John 1, God the Son became flesh. At a moment in time, we would call it back 2017 years ago, that through death, this is the reason he came, he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. How did the devil get the power of death? He went into the garden and usurped his authority over Eve and deceived her and caused her to disobey God. And at that time, he received the power of death. So Jesus came in to overtake the devil and to destroy him through who had the power of death. That was the mission of Jesus the Messiah. And not only does he destroy the devil and his works, notice verse 15, and to deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. See, that's what keeps you in bondage when you're scared of the grave. And you don't need to be scared of the grave, because Jesus went through the grave and came out of the grave to show you I have authority and power even over the grave. I have the authority over death. I have the authority over everything negative against you in your life. And I came through to show you that I have the victory and I have it for you. If you trust me, you don't have to worry about it. See, that's one of the biggest worries we have today. And this is one of the great reasons why Christ came to defeat the devil and show you that I have authority and power over death. Notice verse 16. For he verily took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wow, Abraham the Chaldean, yes. He could have been like an angel, glorious angel, had he have wanted, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. See, that's because God promised Abraham that in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed, back in Genesis chapter 12. And that was a promise that Christ, the Messiah, would come through your line of people. Now notice the conclusion, and we're almost done. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. See that? So Jesus wanted to take on flesh so he could understand the human experience, just like you and I do, to go through the same kind of stuff we do, being rejected, talked about, misunderstood, ridiculed, spit upon, all kinds of things, hated, scorned, all those things. He's been through it all, every bit of it. See, and it was for no reason at all, because he was totally perfect. He was God walking around in the flesh. The Bible says he tabernacled in the body of flesh among us. It was like he pitched a tent in a human body and walked around so that he could experience everything you and I have been through. He even experienced birth, being born out of a womb, came through a woman's womb, unlike Adam. That's why he's called God's only begotten son, because he came, the only one ever born of a woman that came out of heaven from out of eternity to become flesh and dwelled among us. So it was completely into the human experience. And he did this, it says here, that he might be a great high priest in the things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. That's why he did that. For in that he himself had suffered being tempted, he is also able to succor. That's an old King James word, means to support you in the time that you are going through temptation. That's the reason he took on flesh and blood, so I can assist you when you're being tempted. Isn't that an awesome thing? God is an awesome God. So if you have the confidence of being saved, I want you to see that the writer to the Hebrews explains perhaps one of the most profound aspects of the death of Jesus Christ, stating one of the most profound reasons for his death on the cross. That's why he went to the cross, to suffer death so that he could give you and I eternal life. This helps us to know that we are accomplishing by the giving of his life was for the purpose of providing the ones who believe in him with a reason why death has been dealt with by his resurrection. When he got out the grave, you and I know that death has already been defeated. Jesus did that. That's proof that death has been swallowed up in victory for everyone who believes, and therefore there is no reason to fear death any longer. You and I don't have to worry about that anymore. God has got you covered. So it should be our favorite thing as we realize that God, in his perfect love for us, chose to give us the life of his son so that we could have the very thing that we could. In other words, we don't have to earn his goodness or his forgiveness or his grace. He sent his son through, and he was perfect so that he can give us what we need, and we can know for sure that we have the confidence that we're saved. That's why Jesus did what he did. See, and so this was a marvelous gift that God gave, and whoever rejects Jesus Christ will have no further a way of salvation. There's no other way to be saved. And so you must understand that God fully, he loves us. His condemnation will fall upon everyone who rejects his son. But if you trust in Christ, you can have the confidence that you are among the saved. Amen. So that's a beautiful thing, spiritual confidence of the saved. If you are saved, then you can have confidence that God will finish that good work that he started. The Apostle Paul said that he which had began a good work in you shall complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's going to finish the work that he started. So that's what God wants you to understand. I love you just like you are, and I'll take you right now. If you're not mine, it's because the problem is not on my end. The problem is on your end, because I love you. I gave my son for you even before you were born so that you can understand how much I love you. This is the extent I will go through to keep you from being eternally condemned. Jesus came to manifest the glory of God in the flesh, and he wants everyone on earth to be saved. That's why it says it's not his desire that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and all should come to the knowledge of the truth. And this is the truth. God has erected it in time, and he wants you to be saved. I'm going to ask everyone to stand right where you are. Amen. And we're going to have just a word of prayer. And we hope that you have entered into this spiritual confidence of the saved. If you have not, you can do it right now. I want you to pray along with me. Lord God, we bless you. We praise you. We thank you for your word. Lord God, we have heard the good news. It's the gospel that you gave your son, that Jesus was crucified for us, that he hung, bled, and died on the cross to shed his blood for the remission of the sins of whosoever believes in him. And Father, today we trust Christ. We believe him, Lord God. We ask that you translate us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of your beloved son right now, oh God. We trust him. We trust in nothing or no one else, Lord God, not any works that we have done. We're like the songwriter that said, nothing in my hands I bring, only to thy cross I cling, Lord God. And we come in the name of Jesus, your only begotten son. We believe that you raised him from the dead, so we don't even have to worry about the grave. Any sickness, no threats in this life of any kind will trouble our minds anymore. We trust and lean and depend on Jesus and him alone. And Father, we ask you to fill us with your spirit. You promised that the spirit would be given to whoever believes in the name of your only begotten son, Jesus Christ, and believes that you raised him from the dead. So today we thank you today, God. We bless you. We give you praise. We ask you to be in our lives. Help us in everything that we have going on, Father. Let us have that spiritual confidence of the saved from this moment forward, Lord God. And we ask this in the matchless name of your son, Jesus Christ. To him be glory and majesty, dominion and power, now and forevermore. And the church said together, amen. Go ahead and give God a hand praise. Amen. 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 We hope that you got a blessing from the word today. And we'd like to give you an opportunity, if you're here today and you are not a member of a church, we'd like to extend an invitation to you right now at this time to come and let us know that you have chosen to be a part of the church. Amen. We are a small part of a larger organism, the church, which exists all over the world. But we are here for the training and the education of the people who come to understand that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior. We'd like to give you the opportunity at this time to come. If you are not, don't have a church home, or if you do, or you are saved already and you want to fellowship with us here at St. Timothy, we give you the opportunity at this time, amen, to come. And we offer that to you right now in the name of Jesus. Don't be ashamed to own him before men. He said, I will not be ashamed to own you before my Father who is in heaven. And I've always said I will never be ashamed to own him. Because I need him to say, Lord, that one right there, I know him. Because he is not ashamed of me. Amen. I need that because I don't know how you live, but I know I need that. I need him to say, I know that one right there. He crazy, but I know him. I do know him. He calls on me when he's in trouble. Amen. So we have done as God commands. We see that there are none, but yet there is room. Amen. We hope you got a good word from the Lord today. Amen. 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 And at this time, we're going to, you may be seated. We want to acknowledge our visitors. I was going to ask and see if Minister Patey would like to